Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. My heart is stirring for the message that the Lord has put on my heart. I think it's going to take me 2 or 3 weeks to get through the full sermon. I realize this doesn't seem like a new subject, but I feel so in such a longing way that I need to just talk to you about the Word of God. Might seem like that should be normal, but there seems to be there always seems to be a theme that has to happen in the church, and that is emphasis on Christ, emphasis on the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. And then there's this beautiful word that we always need to champion in our lives or in the churches, because something real is happening in the church culture, but also culture in large, as it has to do with this book and what it really represents or how valid it really is. Word of God, live in me has been my longing this week. Word of God, just live in me. It's been a really pointed message that the Lord has caused me to bring to many of you as I've had opportunity to talk with you on an individual basis. But also I want to challenge you from this pulpit to something that's so deep and so real. And I want to share with you a couple of foundational scriptures and then just show you a video clip here in a moment. I'm going to start off with Hebrews chapter 4. So if you want to join with me there, go ahead and turn in your Bibles. I do want to always encourage you to get your Bible, bring your Bible. I realize that now they can come in electronic form. There's something really neat about having something in binding. I realize that might sound dated. But let me tell you, I do it both ways. I have an iPad that's got Bible on it, and I use that devotional time. It's easy to read in the dark. This one's not easy to read in the dark. And so early in the morning, I got the iPad flipping through that, and that it works. But there's something that's just so real about this. And I don't want you to think that this is any special leather or that the ink on it is the words that are in it that are so, as you'll see here. In chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." I also want to read Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven," is how it starts out. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it." And I want to just, in my application, I want to go back and just say to you again, for the word of God is living and active. Go ahead, Madonna.
I feel it's not true. Like, I do sense discrepancy in the Bible, but force is religious faith and its meaning. Having a God, like there's a higher being, I do believe that.
I think they're kind of made up. They're made up by a bunch of people back in the day.
I think they're true, but like I said, that's the way I was brought up. I don't think everybody believes that, but personally, it's true.
I believe it's true. I don't know to what extent, but for the most part, I believe it's true.
Well, there's been a lot of recent findings that have been proving them historically, so there's got to be some truth to it.
Yeah, I believe the Bible is 100% true. I mean, you always have, well, not, I can't say 100% true, because you always have some things that are made up, but I believe the majority of the Bible is true.
I believe it's accurate to an extent, but like I said, people did write the Bible instead of God, so I don't know how much of it might be opinion or someone else just throwing stuff in.
I think it's definitely more like a fable as far as some of the stories they make. It seems to be more of a lesson to be learned rather than an actual event, most of the stories.
I'm not quite exactly sure.
It was written by man, and there's no proof that the words came from a higher power. But I think it's a nice story, and it has good messages behind it.
Well, I think it's pretty intense. Like, if you read it sometimes, like, everything just comes together sometimes. It's like, yeah, even if it's all metaphoric, you know, it still, like, interplays in our life so much that it's true.
Well, the Bible's been interpreted, you know, by different people so many times that, you know, I have no place to say if it's true or not or exactly to the word, but I think that you can take the Bible and definitely learn from it, you know, not having to establish that fact.
I mean, I'm Muslim, but, like, it'll, a lot of it coincides with the Bible we believe in, so I'm guessing for sure.
That is just scratching the surface. How many of you noticed that every response, just about every response, started with, "I believe"? Did you notice that? I believe. What do you believe? You believe something. It has to be dealt with. It really has to be dealt with. Because, and I can start this all off by saying to you, did you know that it doesn't matter what you believe, that truth is truth no matter what you believe? And the way I describe it is, you know, if you stand up on the peak of this roof on outside and you go like this and fall backwards and say, "I believe that gravity doesn't exist." Any takers? Okay, so you can profess something, and that's what's happening here, is there's almost a sadness that grabs my heart, because I look at many of these young people that obviously haven't been taught, but they certainly haven't been shown, that in fact this is something different. This is not just some book that lines up with all the other wisdom of humanity on the shelves of human experience. There is something living and active. In those words, those two words have just seared in my heart for many months now, through my entire journey, but boy, it seems like it's so explosive inside of me over these last couple months. Living and active. I love reading Christian books because there's some brilliant men and women that have insights into this beautiful book, but none of their insights originate from themselves. Every one of them that have a deep value to them, they all originate from the original source of the water that comes right from the rock. And so my suggestion to you is we can drink from the living waters, or you can drink spiritual bottled water if you want. And that's not to take away from anybody who has written. It is just to bring our focus back to what is absolutely true. I am telling you, everyone who will listen, is there is a beautiful place that every heart, mind, and soul can go, where just to open up this book, there is a feeling of profound reverence and gratitude that you can feel in that secret place. I went to, on my trip to India, when we went to teach at a pastor's convention. And I remember one of the Americans that was with us, what he did was he had, when the speaker went up to speak, he took his Bible and he set it down on the floor beside him. And one of the, I don't know if it was one of the India pastors or just somebody from the congregation, but somebody came up to him and said, please do not set your Bible on the floor. Now, I realize, I'm not silly about this idea, because I realize that the pendulum swing can go the other way, because what we could do is we could put this Bible on a cart and cover it with a glass case, and I can wheel it up the aisle, and we can treat it with such a level of respect and holiness that we start to worship the paper and the ink, and we forget about the God that it represents, okay? So I realize that we can go all the way to the other side of it. But the thing that jerked my attention that moment was, have I lost that sense of holy reverence towards the very Word of God? Has it escaped me? What does it look like in my life, in my household? And I don't mean physically, I mean in this household, in this temple. What does this really look like in terms of respect in reverence for what this word really is supposed to be and represent? How many of us in this place believe that this holy word was given by God Himself? The response that we get from society right now is, yeah, maybe God spoke, but see, man got involved. And because man was involved, we messed it up. The argument that continues to dilute the power of what we have here in the minds. And then so we start to reason these things out. The tragedy is not that even a secular secular college where you could go on that campus and say, do you believe that the Bible is true? Do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe the Bible is true? The tragedy is, did you know that today you can go into many churches and ask the same question? You can go into the church and say, is the Word of God infallible? That means without error. And many in the church will pause and say, I'm not sure. And often the response is based on the fact, again, that man has been involved in the translation of it. I want you to be reminded that man was involved in the writing of it. So I trust that God can handle it through the translation as well. Without error. How can that be, Pastor Dan? You have so many different languages. You have so many different translations. I pull up my little iPad and I flip through, and there 20, 30 different translations of different things that are said and done. I realize that we have to be careful and watch for error. Yes, we have to do that. We have to be able to have a sense of discernment. But I'm telling you that there is something powerfully different about this book that has never been touched by any other piece of work. And that powerful thing is that no matter the way that it is written, in the way that it is worded, in the nationality in which it represents, in good translation of the Bible, what they try to do is go into a culture and they look for phrases and they look for slang and they look for language that matches the people group that they go into. So as we look at the different languages of translation, we might find that maybe there's places where man got involved and they have confused it. I am telling you, I have witnessed it. I have seen it. I have had the opportunity not to travel a lot, but at different places of this planet. It's amazing to me how all these different translations are read throughout the world, but there is a common spirit of binding together that I experienced no matter where I went. When me and Aaron were in China, there was a kindred spirit of those who were in Christ. When I found myself in India, the pastors there, in absolute broken humility, I would say, wow, you obviously have read the same Bible that I read, because I sense that same presence that I've read in that book as well. When we went to Kosovo, we experienced that same thing. Young people that were servants of the Most High. How does that happen? It's because this beautiful book is without error, and it is timeless. It's timeless. Spoken through men like the wind would drive a ship is the best way to figure this thing out. Men of old would offer themselves to the Spirit of God, and He would breathe upon them, and He would cause their hearts and their minds to take up the truth that was found in what He wanted to reveal to humanity. And He said to them, write it down. And we see over the years how many different nations and leaders and tyrants have tried to destroy this book. But today, by far, nothing comes close to its sales and its consumption. There is no other book in the history of humanity that has the level of circulation and participation in it than God's holy word. And there has never been a writing that has been so loved and so hated at the same time. That you literally would have nations, dictators, that would completely attempt to abolish it from its nation. China, Russia. China has one of the most exploding church growth programs that the world has ever seen. And they tried to destroy the Word of God. I was there when I would hear people tell stories about how they would take one page of the Bible and they would pass it around to different people in the church. One page. One page. 1,600 years of development. Do you know any other book like that? 1,600 years. Over 40 different authors, most of them known, some unknown. It goes all the way from the king, a king that sits on the throne of Israel, all the way down to a Roman prison. It's got books of praise, it's got books of history, it's got all these things that have been revealed to humanity. Different cultures. It's a revelation of God's inmost thoughts, and the purpose of His heart is translated to those of us who would believe and those of us who would search and desire more of it. I'll tell you, honestly, this man has been so guilty in the past of violating exactly what I'm preaching to you. Not holding it as dear as it should be to my own life, and not participating in it as a living word, unlike anything I had ever anticipated when I finally find myself going there. I watch the way that it works so deeply in my heart. It contains a power that's matchless to any of man's inventions. I ask, young people, that you would trust me when I tell you that nothing that you can experience in life has the same level of transformation and power to it. Nothing else in life that you have. None of man's creations. And when I say creations, I'm not just saying tangible things. I'm talking about the way that man thinks and philosophies and governments and structures and education and all of those things. I'm not saying any of those things don't matter. I'm saying this is the foundation of all that is true and truth. If you want to find your life truly stable in an unstable world, right here is a rock that you can build your foundation on. And let me tell you, you can grow. Even in a society such as ours, where there seemingly is opposition at every single level, you can thrive, you can live, and I want to talk to you a lot more about what that looks like. It has the ability to change the whole person, body, mind, and soul, separating us down, separating the mind, the body, the soul. I don't know how it does it. Cal and I had a discussion not too long ago. We were talking about what is the spirit and what is the soul and how do you distinguish one for the other. And although we could have been a little confused in our doctrine and our theology, the Word of God is not confused. It divides them. When you and I, Cal, when we find ourselves in this Word, it cuts us, it separates them. I don't know how it does it, but it does it. It leaves us with no confusion internally, doesn't it? That's why it's so powerful. Body, mind, and soul, it sets captive free. It lets those in darkness see. It gives purpose to all of life. You can't touch a part of human experience and not apply something that this beautiful book has to offer. And then it also gives you the power to fulfill all of those dreams and visions that God might place within your heart. He doesn't just get you excited about life and then just leave you powerless and let you figure it out for yourself. He not only gives you the direction, he also gives you the energy and the resolve to get those things done. It's no secret that every one of us need daily to be replenished. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, many of us are very laxed in that. Guilty. Guilty. I'm trying so hard to change that within my life at so many different levels. You see, what do I do for a living? What I do for a living is I put together teachings and I put together sermons, and I'm telling you, it's not enough for my life. There's something that's different apart from what I just described to you. It's when the man gets alone in the secret place with the presence and the Spirit of God and the knowledge of God, where he has the opportunity to speak directly into my life, and I figure out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I hope that there's cause and effect. I hope that those moments in the secret place absolutely change who I am when I step behind this pulpit. You will never stop feeling a longing for the utter dependency on God's Word. It will never stop. And sometimes it will feel as agonizing as starvation to the soul. If you don't eat, you will starve. If you don't eat, you will get weary. If you don't eat, you will get tired. If you don't eat, you will get confused. If you don't eat, you will lose direction. And if you don't eat, you will become despondent and heavy in heart and feel that your life has no purpose or no plan. That's if you don't eat. But I trust that there are some of you that have. You have taken up the challenge of the Holy Spirit and just embraced this whole idea of God's Word being living and being active. And that's why I give the title, Word of God, Live in Me. Word of God, Live Inside of Me. Show me, Lord, what it looks like. The Word of God not only saves, but it sanctifies. I know those are religious terms. You get the saved part, okay? Saved means I'm trapped in bondage. I'm in a prison. I'm going to die. Saved means that the Word of God through Christ, he came to set the captive free. Now the shackles fall from my arms. I get to walk out of the prison because I am free. Okay? Now that I'm outside of the prison, I've got the choice not to live like a prisoner. And that's where many people in their Christianity start to hit the wall. We are set free from prison, but we still live like a prisoner. He said he came to set the captive free. And the Bible tells us we can be free indeed. So what it does is it now takes that sin nature. How many of you knew that you trained yourself well in sin? Huh? We're pretty good at it, aren't we? We're pretty slick. We know how to do it. We know how to just walk the edge. How many of you parents have had children that walked the edge? Mm-hmm. I remember if my mom was here, she'd give you this testimony. I had some responsibilities as a young man and in the household. And in one particular time, I remember that my sisters were doing the dishes. And I know this comes as a surprise to you, but apparently I was being antagonistic towards my sisters. Hard to imagine. And my mother gave me the law. She said, do not cross over that line. You stay out of the kitchen. And so mom was in the other room. My sisters were in the kitchen. And I would go like this. And I would put my toe over the line. I know you guys have never done such a thing. I'm saying that's the way we live our life experience sometimes. Don't you want a child that just walks compliant to the rules and to the ways that are because you've set them there for something that's good? The Word of God saves and it sanctifies. Jesus said this in John 8. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Then again in John 17, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The size and the strength of the spiritual man is always in exact proportion to your relationship with the Word of God. The size that you are spiritually and the strength in which you walk out your Christianity will always coincide with your activity with this beautiful secret revealing book that God has given to us, His holy word. How does the word affect us? Over the next several weeks, I want to talk to you about how the word of God affects us. I do not separate the Holy Spirit from this activity at all. I talk to you about Him all the time. He is the agent of revelation. No one who understands anything in this book can read it and understand without His unction inside of us. Just like the Holy Spirit would breathe on the men of old to write these things down, guess what? The same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead can bring that same level of revelation in my heart as I read this book. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'll read something and I'll go, I've read that 100 times. I've read that 100 times. Where was that hidden? Where was that hidden? I never saw that before. The same verse. I've read it over and over and over again, and now my eyes have seen. You know what I'm talking about? I hope all of you know what I'm talking about. How does this beautiful word affect us? The first thing I'm going to talk to you about is that the word is a mirror. It's a mirror to our soul. It's a mirror of revelation. It reveals things. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 23. I'm just going to read it quick to you. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Wow, what a beautiful thing. Did you know that a mirror reveals personal appearance of the one who is willing to look? How many of you are willing to look into the mirror? I know that it can get scary sometimes. But the Bible is a place of deep revelation. In it, we see the human heart mirrored, exactly like God sees you. Exactly. It's an amazing thing that I can look into the Bible, I can read the Bible, and it becomes this reflective thing. How many of you seen, how many movies have been produced where they use an illustration over and over again where somebody will walk up to a pool of water and see their reflection? How many times in that illustration do they see something in that reflection that is not what they are out here? Right? The illustration is used all the time. And I realize that that can work to the bad or to the good. I'm just telling you that either way, the Bible is reflective of who we are as a person. And it's not about your perception. I think of how many young women, they look in a natural mirror, and what they see is somebody who's ugly. And it destroys their heart. That is a perception, isn't it? But then when you've got somebody who sees them for what they really are, what do they see? They see something completely different, don't they? And that's why I have to give God the opportunity to look at me, God, for who I am. He's not interested in bringing condemnation. He's not interested in crushing me down. God is not interested in me looking in a mirror so that he can tell me how ugly I am and make me feel shame. He's wanting me to look into this mirror of his holy word so that I can become and be restored to what he has created me to be in the first place. A full-length portrait. I want you to imagine yourself standing before a full-length mirror, where all can be seen of the natural, the carnal, the spiritual man, everything else that you can imagine. God sees you for what you are. The sad part about it is many people don't want to stand before the mirror. That's the tragedy, isn't it? And sometimes it's a willful action of I'm just too tired, or I'm just too busy, or I'm... How's it working? The beautiful thing is the reflection just goes back thousands of years. That's what's so mysterious about this amazing book. Is I might initially look at it for its surface value, but it is so deep and it goes back so deep. It goes back thousands of years. Our lives mirrored in the lives of those men and women who lived centuries ago. I see a reflection of myself through some of them. I just jotted a few of them down as they just kind of went through my mind quickly. I think of David in all aspects of his life. No, I've never been the king of Israel. But listen, there's times I read some of the things that he has experienced and I say, oh yeah, I can see myself in those ways. Not only the good, but the bad too. David didn't always do good, you know. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart, and I trust I want to see that reflection in this beautiful mirror. I want to see myself for what I am. But often I see those tendencies that David had as well. See those tendencies, but God brings that revelation. How about Ruth? Think about her. Somebody who longed for a kinsman redeemer. You look into the Word and all of a sudden you see a reflection of yourself through somebody who lived thousands of years ago. That's how mysterious and wonderfully mysterious the Word is. Peter's the same way. There's times when I've seen myself getting out of the boat. There's times when I've seen myself in denial of the Lord. There's been those times when I've been ashamed of the Lord and I've been the one that's wanted to say, I don't know who he is. Like a mirror, it shows me who I am. The woman who was sick, and all she wanted to do was touch the hem of his garment. I've had that kind of desperation before. I know what that looks like. I think of the poor widow, that she had this little mite. And I'm saying, God, please let me see that in myself. Let me be that kind of person. A Jonathan who just was so sold out to the kingdom. He didn't care what his place was in man's culture. He just wanted to be a part of what God was doing. I look into the Samaritan soldier of faith, the one where Jesus said, I have not seen faith in all of Israel like I see in you. I'm like, oh God, please, let that be me, let that be me. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But the more I read, the more he keeps me on track. The lame man at the well where Christ would come to him, but do you want to be well? Silly question to ask me. That's the reason I'm here. Do you really want to be well? Do you really want to be well? I can even see myself through the thieves who hung on the crosses beside Christ. There's been times when I was the one on the left, and there's been times when I was the one on the right. It's like a mirror. It doesn't always apply in every character, in every situation. Could this man ever be an Achan? How about those unbelieving, self-seeking disciples? Have you ever seen yourself in them? How about when Christ started to identify them as apostles and the power of the Spirit was in their lives? And they walked through the streets and spoke the words of God boldly. See, that can look like you too. And see, it doesn't stop with just a reflection of me. I am telling you, you will never know God unless you look in this mirror. You will never know him for who he is. The world will always say to you, I believe, I believe, I believe. But you need to know. You need to know that you know that you know who he is. This book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It is revealed. I remember, how many of you just love when you're having a slow day and you want to get yourself really excited in the Word, what you'll do is go back and read the book of Numbers. I remember I was at a conference one time, and the speaker had taken the book of Numbers with the genealogies in the lineage, and he had taken a family line that was about six or seven generations, and he broke the names down as to what they meant. And he started to read the meanings of those names. And what he read to us was a story of redemption. It was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. He read a story of redemption that was found through the lineage of six or seven generations. The revelation of God, it never stops. It's there at every corner and every place. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It unfolds before our very eyes the perfect man, and that is Jesus Christ, the perfect man. Did you know that Jesus is the culmination of everything that is good? That's the beauty of the body of Christ. That's what I love about the church. Is because I can go through this congregation and I can pick out things of God's Spirit that is working in your life, or the way that God has created you, and there's a little bit of Christ, and there's a little bit of Christ, and there's a little bit of Christ. Someday he's going to bring that whole body together. The cells are no longer going to be scattered. He's going to bring the cells of his body together, and guess what the church is going to look like? An absolute completion of the perfect man of Christ. Yeah? How fun is that? How fun is that? The beautiful thing is we can live that experience now. That's why I say, get involved in church. You'll have a better understanding of what Christ looks like. He, Christ, came as an exact representation of the Father. So not only do I look in this word and have revelation of who I am, I look in this word and have revelation of who He is, more important. And when the two of those things coincide together and walk together, then the man can take on some real vision. Let me just quickly draw this to a close with talking to you about the word is water to cleanse and to refresh. Ephesians 5:25 through 27. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, making her holy, cleansing her by the washing through the water of the word, and to present her, the church, to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The purpose of his word in Dan Berger's life is a cleansing agent. John 15:3 through 4 says, "You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Psalms 119:9 says, "How can a young man keep his ways pure? By living according to your word." That's how. Walking as a pilgrim through a world that is saturated by sin, you cannot avoid contact. You can't. As long as we walk through this world, we are going to have contact with this world. God has not called us to separation. He's called us to impartation. He's called us to go into the world and preach the gospel. So in going in, you will make contact with that which perhaps, potentially, is a defiling agent. I want you to simply understand what I'm telling you is whether it's by casual contact or intentional contact, there is a cleansing that is necessary and there is a cleansing that is available every single day. I would take a survey and say, how many of you have taken a shower today? But I won't do that to you. Isn't it important to you that your neighbor cleans up once in a while? The same thing happens in a spiritual context. It's a thing that God has offered to us. The Christian life is to be kept pure. And it's kept clean only in proportion to the hidden word that finds itself in our hearts. I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. That's how it goes. Let me tell you about refreshing as I bring this to a close. Do you know how refreshing this book really is? Have you experienced it lately? Let me tell you what happens on a personal scale. Every time I start feeling heavy in heart and weary in spirit, what I do is I intentionally increase the intake of God's word in my life. As I see the world pressing in, or as I see faith, my faith, starting to wane or bend, I shared this with somebody last week. I go through the same process as anybody else does. There's been times in my life where I went, really? Are you really there? You say, don't say that. Why? He already knows what my heart is saying. It's what my heart was saying. I was confused. I didn't understand. It didn't fit into my appeasement at the moment to whatever the case was, but it was real to me. I was like, Lord, help me in my unbelief. You got to help me in my unbelief. I don't see you. I can't feel you. I don't see any tangible evidence of you there. And then in a moment's time, you feel that wind blowing in your spirit. Anybody know? You know what I'm talking about? You see, that's the real deal. It's real. And so what I have tried to do in my life is be very intentional. as the world presses in, as I feel all that coming in, as my responsibilities grow, as my confusion increases, what I do is I take on with discipline more of His Word. I get it into my life. I have had this conversation with more of you than I ever imagined before. And some of you sitting in this room right now, Jim, you know what I'm talking about. Jim was struggling, if you allow me, I know you've been sharing the testimony. He came to me feeling heavy in heart. So I put the shoe up beside his backside. Boom! Right? It worked. And I did that in love. I'm not boasting in myself, but I basically said to Jim, I've got nothing I can strengthen you with other than a knowledge of God's Word. I said, Jim, I'm going to give you a challenge. And right here, I've got a whole bunch of CDs right here. And I said, over the next 30 days, you saturate yourself with this Word. I said, I'm not even asking you to try and understand it. I'm not even asking you to try and teach a lesson on it. I'm just saying, let the Word of God speak into your spirit and into your life. It's a real deal, isn't it, Jim? It'll bring you alive again. With no other agent beyond that. My anticipation for Jim is not only is he going to become more healthy in the next several days and weeks, but he's also going to become more productive in the lives of those who are around him as well. Countless Christians could tell you of the removal of weariness and the lifting of discouragement, even the strengthening of the body, the physical body, through a quiet hour of meditation on God's holy word. Are you out there? Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's a mystery. But there's certain times when I get very little sleep, not by choice, or not by spiritual enlightenment, but because this darn body just won't sleep. And so I try to beat this body into submission because it longs for that comfort. So I force myself, not with duty, but with an understanding of what this book really is. And I find myself getting up in the early hours. That's how it works for me. Some of you it's evening, some of you it's afternoon. It doesn't matter when, just eat, you know. And I am telling you, without exception, the power of the Lord is more evident in my life in that day, in that hour, every single time. Do you believe that? Through just a simple, quiet hour of meditation. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been spiritually weary? Honestly. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. Keep your hand up for a minute. I just, spiritually weary. I know what that feels like. I really do. And then what's going to happen is the world is going to continue to want to press you down. Okay, those of you that lifted your hands, you listen to me. Listen to me. You cannot continue to do the same things you've always done. If I was to ask the question of this congregation, how many of you believe this is God's word? I'll bet you without exception, I'd get a hand raised. How many of you believe that this is living and active? Yes. How many of you believe that this word is a revelation from God to humanity, and it will touch every aspect of our lives and how we can and should live? How many of you believe that it's a mirror to our soul and dividing up our spirit, spiritual man and the soul, and it's just a healing balm to whatever ails us inside? I mean, you believe that? And then my follow-up question will be, how many of you consumed it daily? Daily. not as some discipline of duty, but because you cannot live without it. And it becomes such a longing of your soul. How many of you in this congregation have been discouraged this week? Same. How many of you been lonely this week? Okay. Isn't that amazing that we can be surrounded by people and feel lonely? How is that? How many of you in this congregation have felt powerless this week? Yeah, I know what it feels like. I know what that feels like. But let me tell you, with all the hope I can transfer to you, you don't have to live that way. And I want to give you the same challenge I gave Jim. You get the discipline of God's Word in your life now. Don't wait for Monday morning. This afternoon, get in your Word. Get in your Word. Whatever form that looks like. If you we've all got excuses. Some will say, I don't read very good. There's apps that will read to you. It will read the Word of God to you. CDs. We have it in every form that you can imagine. There is never an excuse why we do not eat from God's Word. And so I'm inviting you to just come to Him. Come to His Word. One of those powerful ministry songs that I've known from you, times past, which you guys are familiar with, is a song that simply says, Word of God, speak, right? That song has been such a powerful item of reminding me of what this beautiful book really is in its fullest form. And that's how we're going to end our service, is I'm going to ask these guys just to play that song for us. And those of you who have known, you know that you know that this sermon was for you. My guess is it touches everybody, all of us at different levels and different places for different reasons. But I also suggest that there's most of us can step it up. God is not interested in His Word being a duty to you. It's not just on a list of things to do. Let it become your consuming fire. And I promise you, I asked this body, and just like I did, obviously, I was tricking Jim. I told him 30 days. What was I really talking about? He knew it. Same with you. I'll give you the 30-day challenge. Okay. But if you do this in all sincerity and you get into God's Word, let me trust. You trust me when I tell you, you can't stop after 30 days because your life is so changed by just that saturation.